Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello there. This episode is sponsored by iTalki. If you're looking for a one-to-one teacher to work on your English, then look no further because iTalki is probably going to be the most convenient way that you can find someone for you. So there are loads and loads of teachers and also loads of people using iTalki. It's now an extremely well-established platform. And so there's a very clever search function. You can search for teachers by things like where they come from or special sorts of lessons or special things they'd like to focus on, if it's business English or if it's pronunciation or grammar or speaking or job interviews or exam stuff. You can find teachers to help you with all of those things. And then you can see the teachers' profiles. You can see videos of them introducing themselves. You can take trial lessons with them, which are cheaper. And then when you find the right person for you, arrange yourself some lessons. It's very easy to do in their booking platform. And then, bingo, you've got lots of speaking practice or English lessons built into your life. And often you don't need to go anywhere. You can do it all from the comfort of your own home using Skype or similar software. And if you use my URL, which is teacherluke.co.uk/talk, and then book some talking time, iTalki will send you a voucher worth a free lesson. To get that offer, teacherluke.co.uk/talk, or click an iTalki logo on my website. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, ladies and gents. Welcome to the podcast. Here's another new episode for you. This one is all about the band Queen, the rock band Queen, which is a subject I've been meaning to cover on this podcast for years, for ages. Now, Queen are obviously huge, very famous all around the world, internationally successful British rock band. Freddie Mercury, the lead singer, who obviously is sort of a legend, and also certain songs that they recorded, like, of course, Bohemian Rhapsody, which is this incredibly mysterious and amazing sort of rock opera, and other songs that they've written, which over the years we've grown up with or that we've heard in so many different situations. They play Queen songs at sporting events, and you hear them in films and things all the time. Queen, and they're sort of quintessentially British in some way. People have been writing to me for years while doing this podcast, asking me to do an episode about Queen. And so it's one that I've wanted to do for ages. But the problem is, I don't really know enough about them. I'm not a fan who knows all about them. I like Queen, definitely. I think they're amazing. But I'm sort of familiar with their music from, for example, hearing it on the jukebox in the pub, or hearing, you know, watching a music video on TV one day. Just kind of, I never actually bought Queen records or listened to them myself. I'm just aware of them in the sort of public consciousness of from just hearing their songs all the time. And there are certain tunes that I think are great. Bohemian Rhapsody is amazing. Also, I like Another One Bites the Dust because of the bass line. And so I don't really know enough about Queen in order to make an episode about this subject. And that's why I haven't done it for ages. And then recently, I got talking to a friend of mine, Alex Love, who's been on this podcast before. He's a comedian friend of mine from the UK. And Alex is a big fan of Queen, and I don't know how we started talking about it, but he said to me, have you ever done an episode about Queen? And I thought, I've never done that, and you might be exactly the right person I need to talk to about this, because you're a fan, you know about the band, you know the story, and all the things we need to know. So, in this episode, I'm going to talk to Alex about Queen, and try to understand what it is about this band that's so appealing to him and to everyone. What's the story of the band, the origins, how they became so big? I want to know Alex's favourite songs. I'd like to talk about Bohemian Rhapsody, the song. Also, I'd like to talk about the film. Alex has seen it. I haven't seen it. It's a big film that was released fairly recently covering the life of Freddie Mercury. I think the actor who played the lead role, what was his name? Rami Malek. He won an Oscar for it, I think. Lots of people saw the film, and lots of my listeners saw the film too and wrote to me in around that period saying, please talk about Queen on the podcast. Right, so let's do it. I'm going to talk to Alex. Now, I'm going to call him in a moment. I think we're going to speak on WhatsApp or something like that. You know the way you can use WhatsApp to do telephone calls? So I've got no idea what the quality of the call is going to be like. And actually, I don't really know about Queen. I've never read a book about them. I've never read their story. All I know is just the bits and pieces I've seen on TV and heard on the radio and stuff over the years. So it's going to be interesting for me to find out about this band as well. So we're going to go on a little exploration into the work and the story of Queen, the rock band. So I'm going to call Alex in a moment. I hope and pray that the recording quality will be good, that the sound quality will be good. He's just going to be speaking to me on a mobile phone. So hopefully we'll get good reception and it won't bounce around, and hopefully we won't have too many problems in that sense. All right. But so are you ready? Let's talk all about Queen. I know some of you are fans, some of you aren't, but there are so many fans and so many people want me to talk about this that here we go. So this is your bit of English listening practice then. And hopefully if you're engaged, if you like the band, this is the sort of thing that you can really focus on and listen to attentively and sort of pick up language, hopefully, in the process. Right, so I'm now going to call Alex and we'll see how he is, and then we'll get started.
Aha!
Hey, aha! Alex, speak to me. Let me hear what the sound quality is like.
I'm speaking to you, Luke. Can you hear me all right?
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Let's hope we don't get invaded by robots.
Well, there is always that possibility.
Where are you at the moment?
In my flat.
In?
Manchester.
Manchester. All right, man. You're from Manchester now, aren't you? All right.
Well, yeah, not for much longer.
Really?
Yeah.
You're moving?
I am moving, yeah.
Where are you going to go?
I don't know. Just going to I'm leaving my full-time job before Edinburgh in August. So leaving at the end of July, then going to be up in Edinburgh for all of August, and then I'm going to be moving back down south, probably go travelling for a bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know yet. I don't really have any firm plans, but I've got a ridiculous idea of trying to do a gig. Have I mentioned this to you before? The Article 50 tour?
In text, you've mentioned it, but give us the details.
Well, because of the UK leaving the EU, I thought it would be quite a good idea to try and visit all 27 EU member states before the Brexit deadline. But I thought what might be more fun is if I try and do a comedy gig in all 27 EU member states before the 31st of October. Mm. So it'll be after Edinburgh. So I'll have about 6 or 7 weeks to try and do 27 gigs in 27 countries, which logistically it might be pretty difficult to do, actually. So I'll be looking into it.
And have you actually found any?
Well, yeah, I found a few. Found a few gigs around, and I think it's kind of thing that as soon as I've got some booked up and some dates firmly in the diary, it's going to be one of those things I can approach other clubs and say, oh, I'm doing this. And I think it would be, you know, be quite easy to build from there.
Yeah.
Once I've got a few things confirmed.
I think you'd be all right. You've got like listeners to this podcast in probably most of those places. They come out and see you.
Yeah. Yeah. Are there any particular countries in Europe that have you got the most listeners?
Now you're asking. I just need to bring up my stats here, just to be able to confirm that. I'll give you a rough estimate. I'm going to give you a list of countries. Okay, table view. All right, so not that many in the. We've got Spain, the UK, Poland, Germany, Italy, and also France.
Yeah.
Czech Republic, countries like that. Right,
those are all good.
Member states. Hungary.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all. The Netherlands. They're all member states. You're fine. You'll be fine.
Yeah. So that's what I'm looking to do. I think just think it's going to be quite tricky to organise it all.
Yeah, good luck with that.
But yeah, worth looking into, I think. It'd be fun.
Yeah, definitely. It's quite a good concept. And it's what, an hour? It would be like an hour show?
Yeah, I'll be doing the How to Win a Pub Quiz.
Yeah. Okay.
So it'll be the How to Win a Pub Quiz Article 50 tour.
Right, I see, with specialist questions.
Not necessarily, because then I'd have to write some new things.
Just keep the old stuff.
Keep the old stuff.
You're going.
Yeah, works.
You're going to Edinburgh then for August.
Yes, that's correct. I am going up again.
And what's the story?
Morning Glory. It's How to Win a Pub Quiz. Might come as a surprise, but yeah, I'm doing that. I'm doing a midday show.
What is it? What's the name of the show again?
How to Win a Pub Quiz.
Okay.
And then : British edition. So that's the midday show. So it's a theme is Britain. So it's all about history and culture and things like that. And then I'm also doing the first. So that's for the whole month. I'm there doing the midday show. I'm also doing a late night show for How to Win a Pub Quiz late night edition. Sorry, How to Win a Pub Quiz : late night edition.
Okay.
And that's just that starts at 20 to midnight and runs for. Well, I've got the room until 1:30, so it could run on.
Great.
But at the moment, ticket sales could do with looking a little busier for the late night shows. But, you know, there's plenty of time for that to pick up.
Okay. All right. Well, great. Good luck with it all.
Thank you very much.
But we're here to talk about all things musical today.
Well, particular area of music things.
That's right. I was just saying in my introduction, which I just recorded, that... people have been asking me to talk about this subject for years, especially since
Why have you not spoken about it before?
The reason I haven't spoken about it before is because I don't know enough about it, because I'm not a fan. I mean, if you know, ask me about the Beatles, I can tell you anything. But
are they your favourite band?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. What's your favourite album?
Probably the best of the Beatles.
I thought you might say that.
Tough one. I have to say the best of the Beatles, which is, of course, an Alan Partridge reference, everyone.
As was my aha, by the way, at the start of the show.
Alex is an Alan Partridge fan as well. So, but why haven't I talked about it? Because I don't know enough about it. Yeah, ask me about the Beatles.
Why not?
I don't know, because... as I was saying in the introduction, the only sort of exposure to Queen I got was like listening to it in pubs, listening to it in films, on TV, other people playing stuff in the car, things like that. I never actually owned a Queen album, never had any of their songs on any of my old tapes and stuff. My dad had a copy of Night at the Opera on vinyl, the vinyl one, which I think has Bohemian Rhapsody on it. But I'd never sort of dug into that Queen album that my dad had. I was kind of going into other stuff.
You should have.
I don't know, because I always just thought Queen, you know, a big hair rock band.
Yeah.
It's not really my cup of tea. You know, I was more interested in other types of things. It was more kind of like, they were like one of those hair bands, you know, bands with lots of hair, which wasn't really my thing.
Did you like more bald people with no hair?
It was like just Russell less Fred. About the hair. Like, I felt like Queen was the hair was too prominent. And
it was particular one particular man's hair.
Brian May, yeah. But there were moments also when Freddie had some hair going on, and also was it Roger
John
Taylor?
Deacon, he had a nice.
Yeah,
John
they
Deacon
all had
nice
fantastic football. Hair at some point, and that for me was the dominating. It was almost too much hair.
Yeah, well, you can't hear the hair on the records.
I beg to differ. I think you can hear the scratching of hair in the background on some of the tracks, don't you think? The sort of the sound of hair against the microphone.
Well, they did experiment with lots of things, musically and recreationally.
Did they?
They did. So possibly they recorded using hair. I don't know.
Yes. Well, it's certainly interesting. Anyway, we really need to get into this, right, Alex? So you're some sort of authority on the subject then, are you?
Well, not really. I just quite like Queen. That's one of my favourite bands. So,
can I just ask you something?
I own.
Yeah.
Yeah. I own nine studio albums.
Nine.
Yeah. Yeah. They have 15.
Oh, okay.
I think. Yeah.
All right then.
just haven't bothered with the others.
Do you have? I'm going to ask you some other questions. Do you have a Queen T-shirt?
Yeah. No, I don't. I've been looking for one, but I just haven't found a good one.
Okay. Do you have? Yeah. Have you at any time in your life had a poster featuring any member of the band on your wall?
No, I haven't.
Hmm. You don't seem to be qualified to be on this podcast. Let me ask you another one.
I've got nine albums.
You've got nine albums out of 15.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever read a book about the band or any of its members?
No.
Hmm. Okay.
I just wanted to come on the podcast, to be honest.
Have you ever read an article about the band or any of its... Yes, you have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've read enough.
One article in Enemy. Okay. Have you seen any of their videos, their music videos?
Oh, yeah, I've seen lots of videos. And I've seen the musical We Will Rock You 3 times.
You've seen... Okay, that's in your favour. That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, I think I've just got back in the game now.
You're back in the game. You've seen We Will Rock You 3 times. That's actually kind of a big one, because I guess a lot of tourists who come to London go and see that musical.
I don't think it's running anymore.
Is it not?
No, it was running for about 10 years.
Okay. But you know about the band, right?
Yes, I know. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I like the music a lot.
Yeah. What does it mean to you then, the music of Queen? Tell us how personal it is for you, Alex.
It's just something that, you know, some bands you just connect with and some bands you don't. Mm-hmm. And obviously, in your case, you haven't connected with Queen. But for me, it's just, they've always been there, really, throughout my life. I remember when I was about 4 years old in 1989, and I remember singing along to The Invisible Man by Queen on the Miracle album.
Mm.
And I think you find the cover of that album quite disturbing, because it's the one with the four faces merged together.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have a
look
at it.
There's lots of hair.
What's the name of the album again?
The Miracle.
The Miracle Queen. Okay, I'm looking at the picture of this. Oh, my goodness, yeah. I see it's like all four faces all merged together, and it's like they've all got one set of hair and one
exactly.
One
and look
really,
at all the eyes as well.
Really long forehead. Really wide, like a really wide forehead.
Maybe that's what drew me into Queen, because I've had a big forehead. Maybe I liked that.
Mm.
Maybe that's what I could relate to.
It was the foreheads that did it for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Quite possibly.
Mm.
But yeah, I was, and I used to, I remember the Invisible Man video was on TV, and I'd, when it was on, I'd hide behind the chair and then jump out, because I was, you know, pretending I was invisible.
I see.
So, that was me as a child. That's quite cool.
You really took it sort of very, very literally.
Yes.
The song, the Invisible Man.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, I was 4 years old. What do you expect?
Well, I don't know. A bit more sophistication than that, just taking it on face value. Just the simple one-dimensional reading. But I suppose these days you've got a more in-depth appreciation of their music, right? Isn't it true that as a stand-up comedian, you told me this once, that if you have a bad gig and you feel terrible, your remedy for that is to go home, eat biscuits and listen to Queen?
Yes, that is completely true.
So what is it about the music of Queen then that kind of can heal you from the...
I don't know. It's a tonic. It just makes me feel better. It's just nice. You know, it's comforting.
Okay.
Like the equivalent of comfort food, but in sound. And obviously I've got loads of biscuits as well, so that helps.
Yeah, it does. Do you get under the covers as well when you're doing it?
No, it's not sordid.
That was my next question, to be honest. Don't need to ask it now. What was I going to ask you? So how would you describe their music then? What does it sound like?
It's there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of words. Obviously, there's the Queen. There's the layered vocals of Brian, Freddie and Roger harmonising. That's probably, you know, the harmonised Queen song. Sound that people associate with the band, and lots of guitars, lots of drums, lots of amazing vocals, and John Deacon just holding it all together with his bass.
Nice. What's their appeal then, do you think?
It's just because it's so varied, and it's fun as well. They don't take you know, it's fun to listen to. It doesn't, although there is more emotive stuff, particularly in the later years, it's that sense of fun and experiment, you know, freedom to experiment and try things out.
Yeah. Would you kind of categorize their music?
Well, it's rock. It's hard rock, I suppose, but it's the 70s Queen were different from the 80s Queen. The 70s Queen were a lot more experimental, whereas in the 80s they kind of did a lot more radio-friendly stuff.
Yeah.
There's some good songs, but for me, I prefer 70s Queen.
70s Queen is a bit more like sort of hard rock or progressive rock.
Yeah, and experimenting, doing weird things, and just the sheer ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, that was kind of the 70s, isn't it? It was a very sort of flamboyant time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it kind of experimental and flamboyant period.
Okay,
so in terms of like their global success, because they're an international phenomenon, aren't they?
Yeah.
Which version of the band do you think it is that sort of is so well known, and why would you say?
It's probably the Live Aid version, isn't it? That's what people associate. You know, Freddie Mercury in his white vest, strutting around with his moustache. Getting the whole stadium involved. That's probably what people associate. But then, yeah, I think people do have a certain connection with the band's music.
What's the story of the band, actually? Do you know sort of like where they come from and how they got together and all that stuff?
I do. I mean, I've been looking at Wikipedia for... I kind of knew, I do this already, really. So they formed in 1970, and before that, Brian and, well, they known Freddie for a while, and he used to be at their gigs. I think he was in a few bands as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian and Roger were in a band called Smile.
Yeah.
That's there's a song called Doing All Right. That's, you know, it's fine. It's fairly bland. But the lead singer left, and then Freddie just said, well, I'll be your singer now. And then that was that, really. Set them on their way.
They rebranded themselves, didn't they? They renamed themselves Queen.
Yep. Called themselves Queen. They found John Deacon. He replied to an ad. And that was that. And they were on their way, pretty much.
Can you describe the personnel for us?
Yeah, so obviously you've got Freddie as the singer, the front man. You've got Brian May on guitar with his hair that I know you have a problem with. And
no, I don't have a problem. Roger Taylor. Don't have a problem with his hair per se. It's just I felt... when I was at that age where I was making choices about music, that I just felt like there was just too much hair, not just from him. I felt like there was more. Like, and these...
Were you quite a cool kid? Were you into your cool bands?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. You weren't that cool, because I heard your episode when you were reading out your diary.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't that cool.
But you wanted to give the impression of being cool, so you would...
Oh, yeah.
You would shun things you... thought weren't cool.
Yeah, what was I talking about? Stuff I thought wasn't cool.
No, but I expect that's what the kind of stuff you.
Yeah, yeah. I thought sort of like, you know, black sort of denim or leather, the rock look. I wasn't in that category at all. I wasn't like a metal head or like a rocker or a death metal fan. I wasn't in that category, so I never wore black like t-shirts with the names of bands on them. And I never wore. But I never used to, so I wasn't in that sort of crowd. So yeah, that was probably part of it too.
But you were in some bands, weren't you?
I was into bands. You know, I was in bands, and I was also into like stuff like Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin and a lot of the stuff that. So I don't know. I don't really know what the reason was that I didn't get into them, but I think they're brilliant. I've checked out their stuff again more recently. On YouTube, and particularly stuff like Brian May as a guitarist, it's incredible. He built that guitar himself, didn't he?
He did, out of a fireplace.
Out of a fireplace.
With his dad. Yeah.
With his dad.
Yeah.
Really? Well, that's...
His dad, but he didn't. His dad, you know, wasn't part of the guitar. He didn't use his dad to make it.
Oh, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking he used the fireplace and his dad, and he sort of mixed them together.
His dad femur was the neck of the guitar,
and then he used his dad to make the strings.
Yeah. No, he just used his hair for the strings, didn't he?
Right, his own hair, of course. Yeah. Now, we need to get sort of really into this. So we've talked about Freddie, we talked about Brian there, and what about the others?
Yeah, so there's Roger Taylor on drums, who is a phenomenal drummer.
Yeah.
And also had a decent voice on him back in the day. And the high voice you hear on all the Queen songs,
yeah,
like the really high pitch, that was him. That wasn't Freddie.
Ah.
And he sang on a few album tracks. He's got a decent voice.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then
he's a very good drummer.
John Deacon is the bass player.
Yes, John Deacon, who was it? The quiet one, you know, of the band. They all like to show off in their way, but John Deacon was a very modest, very reserved character, but very good on the bass. And he wrote some great songs as well. He wrote things like "Another One Bites the Dust."
Oh, that's one of my favourites.
Did it?
Yeah.
He wrote "You're My Best Friend." He wrote "I Want to Break Free." And you probably haven't heard "Spread Your Wings," which he also wrote.
Oh, right. I didn't know. They're some of his their most famous songs, and he wrote them.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. Each member of the band wrote possibly, it wasn't a number one, it was certainly a hit single, which is quite rare for bands.
Yeah.
So each member, because initially in the early days, they all used to compete to see who could get the best, well, their songs on the album, so they'd all go off and write stuff and then all come together and try and push for their songs to be included, because then that means they got more money. But eventually they, I think it was possibly around the time of News of the World, they just, every song was credited as Queen, they took an equal share. But in the early days, they're all competing to see who could get the most songs on the albums.
In bands often, like especially with the Beatles, one of the most interesting things is the kind of interplay between the personalities in the group. And this sets the dynamic for a band and kind of defines everything that there is about that band. You know, you get it with the Beatles, you get it with a band like Oasis. And you know, like each person's got their own identity, and the way that it mixes creates the sort of spirit of the band. So what about the spirit of Queen? What are the different personalities going on? What's the dynamic?
Obviously, Freddie's out the front, being a show off and very loud, but he's also thing about Freddie is there was the power but also the vulnerability in some of his quieter moments, and particularly later on in the last couple of albums they recorded, he was just drinking shots of vodka because he was so ill, just to get through it, and he was actually dying but had all that power, so there's that strength and but also vulnerability to his performance. And the flamboyance as well, the showmanship. I don't think there's a better front man than Freddie Mercury in the history of rock and roll.
Yeah.
Would you disagree?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of someone else. I mean, obviously someone like Mick Jagger springs to mind, but he's kind of a bit of a ridiculous joke, actually.
Yeah.
Isn't he? I mean, he is. The Stones are a bit of a joke. They're great.
Well, they are now, aren't they? They've gone on a bit too. The Queen are still touring, but I think it sounds really bad, but it's kind of cemented Freddie's immortality, really, in a way, hasn't it? He's not going to grow old and look a fool and embarrass himself.
Yeah, yeah. It's the rock and roll thing, you know, that like what happened to John Lennon and other people.
Paul McCartney. It's quite embarrassing now, isn't he?
No, he's not. Paul's great. Paul McCartney's great. What are you saying?
Do you like watching him sing Hey Jude these days?
No, I can't stand Hey Jude. I can't stand Hey Jude or Yellow Submarine or Yesterday or any of those songs. I can't stand
Do you wish he'd just stop though?
I don't think Paul should just stop. He can stop playing music. Although I like his albums, but I just want to, as long as he keeps going on interview shows and telling, you know, stories about being in the Beatles. You know, that was the thing about the Beatles, you know. Very sort of lots of cups of tea. Very competitive with tea making.
Flaming Pie, 1996, is an amazing album.
Yeah, a lot of his solo albums are fantastic. Yeah. He's much maligned.
He stopped writing good songs when he stopped smoking cannabis.
Do you think so? When did that happen?
I think as if she doesn't get enough grief already. I think Heather Mills stopped him smoking cannabis.
Did she?
I think quite possibly, yeah.
Is that why he divorced her?
Possibly.
She won't let me smoke any reefer, you know. So out on your ass.
Maybe they'd still be together. Who knows?
You never know. You never know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so that's Freddie. So
we've got Freddie covered.
And I can't think of a better frontman, but I'm sure that people can, you know, list names of other amazing singers and stuff like that. What about Brian May then?
Nobody quite liked Freddie. No one.
No.
Because it wasn't just the voice, but also he was an incredible pianist as well.
Yeah.
Just amazing. And to have those two abilities.
And just the pure showmanship when he was on stage, you know, for example, Live Aid, that's a good example of just whipping the crowd up into a frenzy and just getting the crowd to go really, really wild. I mean, you know, in the 80s, there were a stadium rock band, and he was, you know, very adept at just kind of like bringing the crowd really out of themselves and making everyone sing along, and like just the passion that he had on stage. I think maybe this is one of the things that people react to so much.
And the control, but that connection, you felt a connection with him.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like really pushing it.
Yeah.
And
he's giving it everything.
Combined with the kind of slickness of the music, the music is slick and tight. You know, they're all absolutely on point. And Brian May's guitar, like these incredible lines that he does with that extraordinary sound, which I guess is like chorus. It's like a chorus pedal or something that kind of makes the note like a double note. Mm. You know, it gives it that very wide kind of guitar sound.
Yeah.
And just perfect, note perfect all the way through everything. Mm. And what about...
Brian May, incredible musician and amazing songwriter. Yeah, just great. And some of the have you ever heard Prophet's Song?
No.
Yeah, he wrote that. It's brilliant. But it's really experimental, really weird. It's on the Night of the Opera, but it's kind of like Bohemian Rhapsody's sister.
Yeah,
that doesn't get as much attention, but is equally amazing.
Oh, this is like that sort of 9-minute. Track.
I've
never
heard this up now.
No, I looked it up earlier on, but I've never actually heard it. But yes, it's a kind
and
of
that's,
like a,
that's layers. There's all sorts of crazy vocals and stuff, and it's mad. And Brian May said he wrote it when he was coming out of the. He'd had a really bad flu.
Flu.
He woke up. Yeah, so he came up, woke up from a drenching sweat, and just had this idea in his head, and it's strange. How that can happen, because that just makes me think of Terminator, you know. James Cameron had the flu, and then when he was having his flu, he just thought of the Terminator, about this monster, robot. So maybe I think people need to have more flu to create ideas,
or at least everyone should have a notepad by the bed. I think I'm coming down with flu, quick, get him a notepad.
Yeah,
you know.
Not a Lemsip or anything. Or
notepad first, then a Lemsip. Write down, write your ideas down. Let's make a film. Then you get better.
Yeah.
I think that's the order of events. What was Brian?
That was Brian May.
What was Brian May like as a person?
He's a very nice man.
Yeah.
And he likes his badgers.
He likes his badgers, the animals.
Yeah. Because in the UK, there's, for the past, it's been a while, about 8 years, there's been a badger cull, so people have been trying to keep down numbers because they think that badgers spread TB, but there's no actual
evidence for it. These badgers are animals that live wild in the English countryside, and they I mean, they've got like black and white stripes going along the length of their head, if that helps anyone. They've kind of got grey fur, fairly large, like sort of maybe slightly smaller than a fox, and maybe around the same size, lower to the ground.
Bigger than a fox,
lower to the ground, white and black stripes across the face. And so, massive
claws.
So people's massive paws, really. Some people say
claws.
Some people say that there are too many badgers and that they spread disease, like you said, but you've just debunked that fact.
I have
just there, even though you said there was no evidence against it, but anyway, so people kill them to keep the numbers down, and it's known as the badger cull. And people protest against this all the time in order to sort of stand up for the rights of badgers,
and Brian May is one of the people who's been doing it. He's one of the been most prominent campaigners.
Yeah, he does.
And recently,
yeah,
I heard that there was a load of land has been bought in, I think it's near Hampshire in England, towards the south coast, and it's being turned into a forest, like loads of land. I think I can't remember the exact area size, but it's a hefty sized area of land, and nobody knew who had bought all this land and who was planting all the trees, and it turns out it's Brian May.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So he bought loads of land just specifically to make a forest.
Yeah. So he's creating forests for animals. So what a lovely man.
That's lovely. He looks a bit like a woodland animal himself.
He does, yeah.
Some kind of like a tall, thin lion.
Yeah. Is that a woodland animal?
It depends which wood you're in. In the wood that I've got in mind, yeah, there are lions and sort of, you know, all sorts of mythical creatures and things. And Brian May and the other members of the band.
Brian May lives with the woodland folk.
Yes, I think so, with that hair. Majestic looking hair. What about Roger Taylor? What kind of, we know he's a great drummer. What kind of bloke is he? What's he like as a geezer?
He's actually seems like quite a good bloke. Him and Freddie, there was a bit of a spark there. There'd often be tensions, but I think different perspectives on things. And Brian May was in the middle trying to keep things together, and John Deacon was just sitting quietly in the corner hoping people would stop arguing about things, just musical decisions and the way bands debate things.
Did they ever have trouble? Like, was there ever a time that Queen would split up or something?
No. There were always rumours, and that's what we're going to get onto the film Bohemian Rhapsody in a bit. But they never split up. There were rumours about it, but no, they all stayed together. And like the film Bohemian Rhapsody, where they did split up, and then they got back together just for Live Aid, and that was.
Right.
We'll get into that later on.
Yeah, we'll talk about the film in a bit. We're just kind of going through the band members at the moment. So, I don't get the impression then that there was that much tension. You talked about the drummer and Freddie sort of like not getting on sometimes, but it wasn't like there was a huge amount of sort of tension going on in the band. All right.
No, it was just like, I want to do this way. No, you're going to do it this way because I've written this song. And then, like, you know, in One Vision, the song One Vision, and the final line is Gimme, Gimme, Gimme. Fried chicken.
Is it actually gimme, gimme, fried chicken? Is that really the line?
Gimme, gimme, fried chicken. Yeah, that's the final line.
Yeah.
And that was a song that Roger Taylor had written about Martin Luther King, and Freddie had just started playing around with the lyrics and turned the lyrics the song into a shopping list, pretty much. and then the final thing was gimme, 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 fried chicken. They just kept that in, so that's why they say it.
I see. I always thought that was a misheard lyric, but that's actually the genuine lyric.
Yeah.
Well.
There you go.
Absolutely fascinating fact there. Little bonus fact. Favourite songs?
Hang on a second. We haven't got the John Deacon.
All right. John Deacon. I thought he was just quietly sitting in the corner.
Well, he was. And now he's retired, and he's apparently a bit of a recluse these days. Doesn't really have much to do with Brian and Roger, but yeah, he's just seems like a very nice man. Also, like Brian May.
There's lots of very nice men in this band, which I think is. Yeah.
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 And and a very good bassist, wrote some really good songs, as I said earlier.
Yeah.
And just held everything together. You've got to be, because you know that in a live band, the bassist holds everything together. Would you agree with that?
The bass and the drums. I mean, it depends on the band, but usually it's the rhythm section. Yeah, the bass and drums.
Yeah, and you've got to be a good bassist to keep up with the rest of Queen, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. God, I've tried to play bass on some of their songs. It's difficult. Yeah, I wanted to do Bohemian Rhapsody with my cousin in that band I used to be in, and we practiced that a few times, but bloody hell, that's difficult. Oh.
Do you remember when were you there at the Gemma's Rocky Oaky party?
I was there, yeah.
And you witnessed the spectacle.
Yeah, didn't you sing? What did you sing?
I sang Bohemian Rhapsody.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's an absolute smash, right? And it's known all around the world. People sing it at karaoke all the time. Tell me about Bohemian Rhapsody. Is it your favourite song of theirs?
It's a very special song, but it's not my favourite. Just because I think it's it's a bit of the easy option, isn't it? You could just, when I listen to Night of the Opera, I often skip Bohemian Rhapsody.
Really?
Just because it's not something you want to overdo.
Mm-hmm.
It is, yeah, it's a very special thing, but it's not something that you just want to overplay.
Yeah. Any idea what it's actually about?
Well, it is what it is, really, isn't it? It's just a mad thing going on inside Freddie's head.
But, I mean, some of those lyrics must mean something. I mean, when you're listening to it, what are the kind of things that you're thinking of or images that you've got in your mind or the types of emotion that you're experiencing?
It's just all every emotion, really, isn't it? It's the it covers all the emotional bases. It's sadness, it's happiness, it's everything else in between.
It is, isn't it?
It's all sorts of things. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
It probably hits all the emotive notes, but also pretty much all the musical notes as well. I think it covers everything.
I think every note is included in the song. That's
every kind of, single note.
That's part of why it's so magical. Like, literally, all the notes are in there. Not necessarily at the same time.
It feels very special.
It's
just
like
how it's layered and builds and then there's a crazy bit in the middle and
different sections, and it's incredibly like memorable. You can sing along to it. The lyrics all sort of seem to catch our imagination. You know, we start to imagine, is this a story? Is this about something specific that's happened? He's like talking to his mum and there's like a murder involved, and then these sort of reflections about nothing really matters anyway.
Yeah.
And it's kind of really kind of hits a certain kind of mood of we all feel like that sometimes, of like that, well, you know, just nothing really matters in the end. It's just it's like very sad, but also very kind of calming
triumphant.
Yeah. It's really, really extraordinary. Incredible. And the musicianship and the musicality.
Yeah.
And of course that bit where it goes down right, and everyone headbangs like in Wayne's World.
Yeah.
It's incredible, it's a stunning piece of work. What's your favourite song then, if it's not that one?
Oh, it's difficult to say.
Do you have a favourite?
Favourite song. Oh, I don't know. It's so many.
Name some of your favourites then, if you can't pick one.
All right. I really like Love of My Life. I think that's an amazing song. I was trying to get you to play on the guitar.
Yeah, I don't know any of their songs, so I can't. Tell me about Love of My Life.
Yeah, it's a ballad. It's stripped back. It's just a guitar and I think there's a harp as well. And it's just a very, very raw, stripped back song.
Yeah.
And it's, you can tell that it's from a particular place of vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just something that's really nice to sing along to. One of my favourite nights at university was me and my two housemates. We were on a night out in a dingy club that we go to called Route 66.
Yeah.
And one of my housemates was having some problems with a girl. You know, he thought she was interested. Turns out she wasn't, as happens a lot with us blokes that going through that sort of age, and he started crying, so we left the night early, and then we went back to our house, and he went off to his room, and I think he was feeling better, and then he went to bed. And me and my other housemate were both massively into Queen.
Yeah.
My housemate had a bottle of Baileys. The how would you describe Baileys?
Baileys is disgusting. It's like a liqueur, and it's what's the flavour of it?
Creamy
coffee. It's a creamy coffee liqueur, so it's alcoholic. It's extremely sugary and creamy, and it's got sort of coffee flavour to it as well. It's freaking disgusting. You might drink it over ice, but you wouldn't drink a whole bottle of it in one evening.
No. Well, you think that. So he had a bottle of Baileys. I can't remember where he got it from, and we drank that between us, the two of us, singing along to 70s Queen albums until we could no longer speak. And passed out. That was great. Other songs, I think it's more obviously The Show Must Go On, and that's an incredible song. And what makes it all the more incredible is Freddie was literally downing shots of vodka to get through that because of the amount of pain he was in when he was really ill. That's one of the last songs he recorded.
Yeah.
So that's incredible. I think for me, I probably prefer albums than songs. The Queen of pretty much an albums band, I think, instead of they've got some great songs. I think listening to a Queen album all the way through is is an experience in itself, and I find that more enjoyable than listening to individual songs.
Okay, so albums?
Well, Night of the Opera is the obvious one. That's an incredible piece of art. I think it's just so varied and ridiculous, and you've got End of the Pier, vaudeville things like Seaside Rendezvous, and you've also got You're My Best Friend, that's on there. So it's such a varied album. You've got I'm in Love with My Car by Roger Taylor.
Yeah.
And remember the Bohemian Rhapsody at the end, Love of My Life, that's on there as well. Prophet Song. It's just so many amazing things. And 39 as well, which is a Brian May folk song about space travel, which is incredible. Have you listened to that?
I don't think so. Because Brian May is seriously into astrology, right? Astrology or is it... Astrology or astronomy? I can never bloody remember.
Astronomer, I think, isn't it?
Astronomy is the one about, you know, stars and astrophysics and stuff. Yeah, astronomy is the scientific study of celestial objects. It's astronomy. Astrology is the one. Astrology is all about people's horoscopes and stuff. But no, Brian May's into astronomy.
Yeah, so I was right with that, wasn't I?
I don't know. I don't know who was right. I was right.
So anyway, I think he was doing a degree in astrophysics, and then he dropped out to be in Queen. I may have got that wrong, but anyway, he's a doctor in astrophysics. He's got that. Yeah,
he's got that going for him. Just in case the band doesn't work out.
He knows loads of stuff about space as well, which is another thing that makes them more amazing.
So I get the impression that really Freddie is the character in the band, that the other guys are pretty much like sort of nice but grounded, amazing talents and stuff, but fairly grounded. Yeah. But what about Freddie? What was going on there? What's going on with Freddie Mercury? What's his story?
Everything. Well, he was originally from Zanzibar, and his family. I may get these details wrong. I'm fairly certain his family had to flee Zanzibar because there was I don't think it was a civil war, but his family had to flee Zanzibar and they moved over to the UK.
Yeah, so maybe it's some sort of military coup or something like that.
Yeah, do you want to just Google that?
Zanzibar.
I think it's important your listeners...
Zanzibar. Zanzibar is a semi-autonomous region of Tanzania. It's composed of the Zanzibar archipelago in the Indian Ocean. 25 to 50 kilometers off the coast of the mainland, consists of many small islands and two large ones. Zanzibar Revolution. On the 10th of December 1963, the protectorate that had existed over Zanzibar since 1890 was terminated by the United Kingdom. Yeah. It's usually our fault. The United Kingdom...
Normally is, isn't it?
Yeah, the UK didn't grant Zanzibar independence. As such, because the UK had never had sovereignty over Zanzibar. Huh? Okay. Rather, by the Zanzibar Act 1963 of the United Kingdom, the UK ended the protectorate and made provision for full self-government in Zanzibar as an independent country within the Commonwealth. Upon the protectorate being abolished, Zanzibar became a constitutional monarchy under the Sultan. However, just a month later, on the 12th of January 1964, Sultan Jamshid bin Abdullah was deposed during the Zanzibar Revolution. The Sultan fled into exile and the Sultanate was replaced by the People's Republic of Zanzibar. Zanzibar and Pemba, a socialist government led by the Afro Shirazi Party. Over 20,000 people were killed, and refugees, especially Arabs and Indians, escaped the island as a consequence of the revolution.
Yeah. So as part of that...
His parents escaped from all of that.
Yeah.
And came to the UK?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so there's young Freddie growing up in the 60s.
Yeah, he was working as a baggage handler at Heathrow Airport.
Oh, yes. Handling baggage.
Yeah, that's what baggage handlers do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he got into art school.
Okay.
And he was in his youth, he was a long-distance runner and also a boxer. He was quite a decent boxer. I only actually found this out when Bohemian Rhapsody, the film, was released. But you can kind of see that because obviously long distance running and and the boxing are very much solo sports where they're out there on their own. And some of the, you know, the posturing, the macho gestures that Freddie pulls on stage.
Yeah.
That's his background as a, in amateur boxing.
Right, I see. Okay. What happened to him, though? I mean, his life ended sadly, but was it sad all the way through? What kind of life did he lead?
It was an incredible life, wasn't it? Just astonishing. It was a life of excess, and he did whatever he wanted to do and lived how he wanted to without any inhibitions, really.
Mm. Was he kind of like a sort of a hedonist of sorts?
Well, I'd say so, when you've heard stories.
Yeah. He took lots of drugs and had sex with everybody?
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, but he was gay, right?
He was, although he was in a long-term relationship with Mary, can't remember her surname. The song Love of My Life is about Mary, who was together with her, they were together for a very long time, and he referred to her as his wife for much of his life.
Yeah.
So I think he was probably bisexual, but closer to
the male side of the equation.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we're talking about the '70s, really, when they were, you know, well known and stuff, and when they were the band were doing things. By that time, I guess sort of being gay in society had become more acceptable, right? I mean, it wasn't really until the '80s that it sort of started to get into pop culture and stuff, maybe a bit in the '70s. But I mean, did he face a lot of difficulty being gay?
Yeah, there was definitely a taboo about it.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. I mean, that was, I think it was possibly even overcompensating. I don't know if it's, I think, obviously I can't speak from experience, but people I know from school who have since come out as gay, when in the younger years they were, you know, always in a relationship with someone of the opposite sex.
So oh, yeah.
Possibly that overcompensating, just not knowing how to deal with things due to society and expectations and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. But then, like, he kind of made it in the band and got super famous and everything and successful.
Yeah.
Did fame kind of, did it work for him? Because some it doesn't work for some people. Did it work?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Yeah?
He enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
He enjoyed the extravagance. He enjoyed the decadence.
Yeah.
And the,
aren't there stories of, like, some party that the Queen had where they had dwarfs walking around with trays with cocaine, mountains of cocaine on trays walking around. So it was like the full-on decadent rock and roll lifestyle that they had. Were they all into that?
I don't think John was particularly.
Yeah, quiet John Deacon. He was just sitting in the corner, right?
Like he was, pretty before. Much, yeah. Just went to bed at 8:30 every night.
Yeah, a cup of tea, go to bed.
Yeah. I think they're all they'll certainly enjoy themselves.
Yeah, it's rock.
Did you ever have any parties like that in your band?
Did I have any parties with like dwarves walking around with trays of cocaine? No, unfortunately not.
Oh, right.
The only parties I ever had in my bands were like in these scummy little practice studios on the edge of town somewhere, like Birmingham or Liverpool or something, some scratchy little place, and we've got, you know, cans of lager bought from the local shop. And fish and chips. Yeah. Never got to the, to the parties with the dwarves and the cocaine and stuff like that.
Not even, you couldn't even put fish and chips on a dwarf's head.
Didn't have a dwarf, you know.
No,
no there weren't any dwarfs available. So it was just fish and chips and beer, which was fine.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's good. Those are the two main ingredients in British rock music. You know, you can't get anywhere without fish and chips and beer. This has got to be your starting point. Freddie sort of, in the end, he got ill, didn't he? He got AIDS. Is that right?
He had AIDS. That's right.
Yeah. And then he died as a sort of kind of consequence of that, I think.
It destroys your immune system. So any infection you have is just you can't get rid of it.
Right. I see. Sad. sad. And yeah. I mean, like, you know, was he at peace with the world when he went?
I don't know that.
of course you don't know, but I mean, like, you don't know him personally. I mean, interviewing you like you knew him personally.
I do know, right.
I thought you knew about this. I thought you knew about this subject, for God's sake.
Yeah, I was 6 years old when he died, so obviously I went around his house a lot. And,
yeah, so you could still like read about it and stuff. But we established that you only know them through the musical We Will Rock You. So maybe it's like, did Freddie have a difficult life? Well, sorry, you'll have to stick to the plot of We Will Rock You, I'm afraid. Have you got any Ben Elton questions?
Do you know what happens?
I've seen We Will Rock You. It's about like a future.
I kept that quiet.
Huh? Yeah, I kept that quiet. Yeah. I'm not a musicals type person. I don't normally go and see musicals, but I did go and see that one once. And it's kind of like about a future society, right, where rock and roll is banned. It's like 1984.
Yeah.
Rock and roll is banned and there's like a revolution and an uprising and they kind of fight back.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because rock and roll is banned, but everyone sings, even the people who ban rock and roll, they all sing songs.
In a rock and roll style.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
And just Queen music as well, which... If you're going to ban all music apart from Queen, that's, I could live with that.
Imagine a constitutional government in which all of the sort of big matters of state are all done through the medium of Queen songs.
Yeah.
Imagine that, if just all the characters in our world just could only communicate through the medium of Queen songs. That would be very strange. But that is basically the world of We Will Rock You.
It is.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Not really. But I like the songs, don't get me wrong. Like the songs, definitely. Obviously the songs songs are amazing, but like songs, I don't care about musicals. I just don't like people walking around and then singing for no reason.
Spoken to Paul Langton about this?
No. Never.
He loves his musicals.
Oh, I'm not a fan, but he can convince me. I'm always open to be convinced.
I went around his house once and he's got some of these magazines where you subscribe. And every month you get a magazine and then a free gift.
Mm-hmm.
So he subscribed to this magazine about classic musicals. I went around his house and he's got all these classic musicals, things he hasn't even watched, on a shelf they got free from a magazine.
Oh my God. Like, what kind of classic musicals are we talking about?
Oh, I'm sure he'd be able to tell you, but it's... things like, I think he's got My Fair Lady, and it's not the modern ones. So I don't think he's got anything like Blood Brothers or...
Yeah. It's all the old school ones.
The really old things, yeah.
Wow.
So he might have Sound of Music as well. And he'd be able to tell you exactly the list of musicals. But yeah, he subscribed to a magazine and got a free DVD of a musical of each issue. And
just all these free DVDs from a magazine subscription. So did you like We Will Rock You? You must have done if you saw it three times.
Same with you. The thing is, my dad paid for it all three occasions. He took the family up to London. We stayed in the hotel and we saw We Will Rock You. And that happened three times. And I kind of wish he hadn't done that, because now he's approaching retirement and doesn't have very much money.
Yeah.
So I kind of wish he hadn't.
It was a waste of money, that's what you're saying.
It was expensive as well.
Mm.
Yeah,
they are expensive, those tickets to musicals in London.
I really enjoyed the music and I really enjoyed the spectacle, but the script and the storyline, it just reminded... did you ever watch a TV show called Oscar's Orchestra with Dudley Moore?
No.
All right. It's about a talking piano. You
never
seen it?
No, never saw it.
No, well, that in that all music had been banned, and that was released a few years before We Will Rock You. And it was part of me was thinking, well, Oscar's orchestra have already done this.
But you know, like the act of banning music is not an original idea. People have been doing it for hundreds of years. In some states, some parts of the world, music's completely banned based on certain teachings, certain rules, and things. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's what I associated with the story. But the music and spectacle, I thought, were amazing. And I think you need a theatre-trained voice to be able to do Queen's music justice.
Yes, I think so.
Although I haven't had any theatre training.
No, neither have I. which is why I don't want to try and sing any of their stuff. I'm not ready.
So I've been trying to get you to agree to a Queen duet because I've heard you singing on some of these podcasts.
It's not going
to
happen. Not going to happen in this episode. I'm sorry.
I think it will.
I can't do that to the music
one
of Queen.
Your readers.
It's not going to happen.
One of your readers.
Listeners. Hello.
Well, I'm referring to the comment section.
Okay.
And you also put the script out of this, don't you?
Sometimes. Well, there won't be the script of this conversation, not yet. But sometimes I do the beginning of episodes and stuff.
Readers / listeners, probably listeners. Anyway, one of those people, hello people listening, you can probably suggest a song that's fairly easy to play for Luke on the guitar. And it'll be a Queen duet. And next time Luke is in the UK, we will we'll meet up and we will sing a Queen song for the podcast. How about that, Luke?
All right. Yeah, I'm up for that.
Yeah?
Yeah. People want to name their songs that we can destroy, then they can put them in the comments section. Just final thing before we finish up here. Did you see Bohemian Rhapsody, the film?
Yeah, I did.
I haven't seen it. So what did you think of it?
Well, I didn't enjoy it.
Really? Oh, that's a pity. Some people wrote to me saying, I really loved the film, Talk About Queen. Yeah. So you didn't like it? That's a pity. Why not?
No, I didn't.
What was it about it?
Because it was very safe. They played it very safe. They didn't take any... If you think about Queen and all the crazy rock and roll antics they got up to, and but not only that, in their music, just how they took risks and they experimented. Bohemian Rhapsody is a very generic biopic.
Mm.
It doesn't really take any risks, and it jumps around very quickly. They don't really. It all seems a bit too easy. How they're playing with Smile. So when Freddie takes over from Smile, and then the next thing they're touring America, and then they're playing to sold out crowds. There's no real. I think they wanted a thing. They had a list of things they wanted to tick off their list of milestones in the band's history that they wanted to feature in the film, but it's. They wanted to just, you know, we want this and we want this and we want this. But cohesively, it was just a bit of a letdown. And it was very safe, very generic.
Yeah.
And
because I expect with the case of like Freddie in particular, there's, you know, you could do a much more edgy telling of his story with not shying away from things that he did in his life and stuff like that.
Well,
yeah,
that's what Sacha Baron Cohen wanted to do. But I saw Rocket Man. At the weekend, which is really good. Have you seen that?
No, but it's directed by exactly the same person who did Bohemian Rhapsody, right?
Not entirely.
No,
it's Dexter Fletcher picked up after Brian Singer got sacked, and it's a different writer. But that plays around with it's more like a musical, and it's so Elton John's telling the story, and it's so they can take a few liberties, and because it's from him, you know, he's
his
telling
point of view,
the story, and then they can, there's all sorts of, you know, visual things they can do and things a bit more experimental visually.
Yeah.
So it was just a bit bland and it's disappointing because I love Queen. I was looking forward to seeing it. And the finale is just Rami Malek, who's all right. He won an Oscar. And he's okay. But he's just miming along to Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, it's just him doing the Freddie Mercury like big stadium rock concert thing, right?
Yeah. But interestingly, there's the official Queen tribute band. It's called Queen Extravaganza, and the singer of that is called Mark Martel, Mark with a C, and he's amazing. He sounds so much like Freddie, but he doesn't really try to. He just naturally does.
Yeah,
and he does bits of vocals in the film, and I would have preferred him to have done all the singing parts instead of miming over Freddie, because you know it's not him.
Yeah, that's weird when you see an actor miming like sort of a voice, but it's obviously the voice of the original person.
Yeah, that's
weird. It sort of takes you out of the film, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Whereas in Rocket Man, Taron Egerton sings all the Elton John songs.
Wow.
Which is, admittedly, it's probably easier to sing like Elton John than it is Freddie Mercury.
Yeah. Definitely, definitely.
But it's still that connection. Yeah, go back to that connection thing again between the performer and you. But when someone's miming over the original, is that detachment, and it's like, well, I could just watch this on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you could. Well, I'll be putting the I'll be putting some YouTube videos on the page for this episode so people can have a look at those performances. But Alex, thank you for talking to us about Queen and for sort of telling me a few things I didn't know, and for being my resident Queen expert, who's not actually a Queen expert, but
is, I know more than you.
You know who knows more than me, exactly. So that's the maybe the main thing.
Yeah.
All right. And so, what about your Edinburgh show? You've got a daytime show and a nighttime show. So if anyone going to Edinburgh, they want to see you do How to Win a Pub Quiz, which is it's a sold out show from years. It's been on going to Edinburgh. What is this, the third year now?
This is the fourth year. I'll be doing. No, hang on. It's the fourth year I'll be doing paid shows with it, but it'll be the sixth year in total. So I first took up in 2014 on the Free Fringe,
mm-hmm.
and then I did the. Did it 2 years on the Free Fringe, 2014 to 2015. Then I moved to a paid venue in 2016.
Yeah.
And then 2016, 2017, 2018 sold out, which was ridiculous.
Yeah,
and
right.
It was all right. And doing that again. I'm doing some late night shows, and I'm trying to. Part of the reason I wanted to come and speak to you about Queen is because I'm trying to. I'd hoped it would give me some ideas about. Because I wanted to do some material mm-hmm. and incorporate that into the pub quiz. And in the late night show, if we've got time every night, because as I said, I've got until 1:30 from 20 to 12. If we've got time for a final round, I will do a Queen round there, where hopefully it will end in a sing-along of Bohemian Rhapsody.
That's fantastic. Okay, and so if people want to come and see you, what should they do?
So they should... They can find me on the Edinburgh Fringe website. So you can, if you search for my name, How to Win a Pub Quiz. There's the British edition, which is at midday.
How to Win a Pub Quiz. Like you've said that so many times now, Alex, that you've turned it into one single word. You realise that, don't you? How to Win a Pub Quiz. It's become just a single word. But for my listeners, they're like, sorry, what was that? How to Win a Pub Quiz.
What accent was that?
How to Win a Pub Quiz. I don't know. Was it a BBC? Was it a BBC?
What was that in a weird accent?
What? I said what?
You said, sorry,
what was that? Like,
you said it in a Eastern European accent.
Did I? I thought I did it in a sort of a posh accent or something. But anyway, maybe it could have been a Eastern European accent that I did it in. But anyway, that's what they're thinking. They're going, sorry, what? What was that?
Yeah.
So say the name of the show in the quick way that you've been saying it, and then say it in a slow way, please. Now, do that now.
How to Win a Pub Quiz. How to Win a Pub Quiz.
Yeah.
How to Win a Pub Quiz.
Right. And sorry, tell us when and where we can see it again, because I still don't know.
You can see the midday show, the British edition. You can see that at Stand 2, which is on York Place in Edinburgh. Mm-hmm. And you can also see me at the late night edition, which is at Stand 1, which is downstairs, and the capacity is 140.
Ooh.
Very nice. It's going to be a lot more admin. So, mm-hmm. We'll see if I can fill it. I'm not feeling totally confident, but then I didn't. When I first took the show up to Edinburgh, I honestly thought there would be people queuing up around the block. The box office demanding refunds, having
really did you really
yeah I did,
but there wasn't.
No quite the opposite,
thankfully.
Hopefully the late night shows will do well.
Yeah, it's gonna be brilliant. Late night shows are always good fun. Okay,
when are you coming to the UK, Luke? When are you gonna do our duet?
I don't know. I think I might be there in July or something. I'll let you know so that we can sort out a duet.
We'll go on Moz's boat. We haven't asked him yet.
That would be great, wouldn't it? We should spend an evening on Moz's boat.
We'll have to be careful about what we tell police officer Paul about what we're doing.
Yes.
That'd be really cool.
It would be. All right. Yeah. Well, let's make that happen at some point. But otherwise, Alex, thank you for coming on the podcast. And good luck.
Well, hopefully you got something useful out of that.
Yes, I think I did. We talked about Queen, so mission accomplished. Yeah. And have a good run in Edinburgh, and I'll see you, soon, I hope.
Yeah, hopefully. It's been 2 years, hasn't it?
It's been ages, yeah. All right. Okay, well, say goodbye to the people of the world.
Goodbye, people of the world. Goodbye, Luke's listeners. Goodbye, Luke's readers as well.
Yeah, goodbye to everyone from Alex.
Yeah.
All right, well, have a nice rest of the evening.
Thank you. Are you still recording, or are you going
to... Still recording now, because I haven't done... I don't know how to end these conversations. I don't know. What should I do? To end
sing a song?
No, I can't sing a song. Like, what should I say to end the conversation?
Could you bring the robot in?
No.
But you could, like, when you edit it.
I can't do that anymore because my computer's audio doesn't work and I need the computer to help me create the robot. I mean, help me start up the robot to enter the commands into it, you see.
Well, the robot was very upset. They'd been left all that time.
Yeah, well, they're mental though, aren't they? You know, one of them wants to kill.
Them?
One of them wants to kill me, and no, I didn't create them. I bought them online. One of them wants to kill me and take over the human take over the world and kill all humans, and the other one is just upset with the politics.
Can't Who's the one who really wants? They really fancy you, and they really
that's English Robot 4000, who's just a bit creepy, and she's just a bit too. I don't know, it's a bit forward and a bit creepy in the sense that she's like a bit stalkerish.
Well, I suggest firing them up, you know, getting them up and running and then...
But what I meant was, how do I finish this actual conversation? I don't mean an extra thing to be added on to the end of the episode. I mean, how do I finish this actual conversation? What shall I say to make this stop?
We're still recording then?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you could stop recording.
Yeah, but I can't just stop recording. There needs to be some sort of like soft landing before I press stop, don't you think?
Well, you've already done that. You already thanked me
really?
For coming on.
Okay, well, yeah. I'll just thank you again. Yeah. Thanks again for coming on.
It's all right.
And goodbye and good luck.
Goodbye.
All right.
Still recording.
Still recording, because it still doesn't feel like it's been a good enough ending. You know, I don't know. Like, I just feel you need to be like, well, thanks, everyone. Have a great... That's difficult because they're all listening at different times. So you can't say have a great morning because it might be the evening. Have a great time, guys. Speak to you soon. Bye. That's it. Can you do that?
Yeah.
Go on.
You want me to?
Yes. Yes.
All right. You're going to edit all the other stuff out?
Yeah.
So what are my lines?
You have to say, well, thanks. It was great to speak to everyone. You've already done that, haven't you?
I have, yeah.
I know, but I just... okay. Because I think that I've probably missed the opportunity to do a break, but I haven't, because all this is going to get edited out, all right?
Yeah.
It's all going to get edited out. Thank you, Alex.
But this could be on the Patreon thing.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, people could pay for this bit. It might just be a free bonus extra in the app.
Yeah.
Luke failing to say goodbye to Alex.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, well, this really is it now, though. I'm going to stop recording.
Are you going to hang the phone up, or are you going to stop recording?
I'm going to stop recording right now.
Yeah.
So that was Alex Love there talking about one of his favourite bands, Queen. I hope you managed to follow all of that. I understand that the sound quality wasn't exactly perfect, and Alex can be a bit of a mumbler sometimes. He mumbles a little bit. But this is good practice. Not every conversational bit of listening that you'll do will happen in completely perfect acoustic conditions. It's good training to listen to conversations like this from time to time. So I know that plenty of you out there are big fans of Queen, and you might have things to say yourselves. So I'd like to invite you to leave your comments in the comments section on the website. You can write responses to any of the things that came up in this conversation. And here are some questions for you too. These are pretty much the questions I asked Alex, I think. So if you want to, you can have a go at answering them as well. So the questions are this. First of all, how did you first get into Queen? And by get into Queen, I mean become interested in it. I don't mean actually join the band. Ha ha ha. But how did you first get into Queen? Secondly, what is their appeal? Why are they popular? What's their appeal to you personally and to everyone, in your opinion? How would you describe their sound? So what does their music actually sound like? What's the story of the band? Do you know their origins and how they went on to become such a huge band? Maybe we missed some things in our telling of the story. What are your favourite songs of theirs and why? What is Bohemian Rhapsody all about? And I mean the song. What about the film Bohemian Rhapsody? Have you seen it? What did you think of it? Did you like it, unlike Alex? And what were your reasons for liking it or disliking it? And have you seen Rocket Man, the Elton John film? And then what can you tell me about the individual members of the band? What was the dynamic between them all? Because for me, the dynamic between the members often seems to be the secret to every band's magic. So do feel free to write some things in the comments section in response to any of those questions. Now, what about Alex's comedy? He's going to the Edinburgh Festival again. So if you're heading up to Edinburgh for the Fringe this year, why not check out Alex's show, which is always a hit at the festival. It's called How to Win a Pub Quiz, and it's part stand-up comedy show and part pub quiz. It's described in the Fringe website as being an interactive comedy game show, and it is a lot of fun. You'll see the link to the page on the edfringe.com website here on the page for this episode on my website. That's tickets.edfringe.com, and then just search for Alex Love. His show is on every day during August, except the 12th of August. It's at 12 noon, so that's midday, at the Stand Comedy Club, Room 2. Tickets are available at tickets.edfringe.com, or just click the link on the page for this episode. Go along to Alex's show. You will have fun, I promise. He's done the show lots of times now. He's been working on it every year. He improves it. It's different to how it was before. He's added new questions. I think this is like a special British edition to the pub quiz, because he was thinking of doing a Brexit edition. And in the end, I think he decided to make it a British edition. I don't know what his reasoning was behind all of that. But anyway, maybe if you go, you could meet up with him for a drink afterwards. Buy him a pint. He'd appreciate that. And you could ask him yourself. So there you go. Tickets.edfringe.com. Search for Alex Love, How to Win a Pub Quiz at the Edinburgh Fringe every day except the 12th of August at midday at the Stand Comedy Club, Room 2. Right, so that's pretty much it for this episode. Just before we finish, I'd like to give you a reminder about premium content. I've uploaded Series 13 and Series 14 is almost ready to go. So plenty of premium stuff available now for you, and it's all about repeating, demonstrating, and clarifying language, which has come up naturally in conversations on the podcast. And there are pronunciation drills focusing on different aspects of pronunciation each time. Episodes and PDFs are available in the app and also online. To get the Luke's English Podcast app, just go to the App Store on your phone and search for Luke's English Podcast app. And to join up to LEP Premium, just go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium to get started. Again, things might be a little bit quiet with the free podcast over the next few weeks, but premium episodes are coming. Okay, so I look forward to reading your comments about Queen as they come in. It feels like I should be doing a song at the end of this episode, but there's no song from me. Alex requested a song. In fact, he requested a duet. But no, there's no song, just because I don't really feel good enough to tackle a song by Queen. And I think a duet over the phone would have been impossible. The songs, Queen's songs, are all a bit too technical. And Freddie's voice is so strong and has so much range to it that it's hard to do covers of Queen songs. But perhaps if I somehow meet up with Alex, we can do some kind of duet, which I'm sure would be absolutely horrible. But if that's what the people want, that's what I'll do. Okay, so maybe that's something that we can arrange in the future. But for now, ladies and gents, that is the end of this episode. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll speak to you again on the podcast soon. But right now, it's just time to say goodbye, bye, 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 bye. Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humor and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.